I thought today to discuss what everyone thinks is their situation in this world. What are you trying to accomplish? Is this world a place for you to satisfy your senses? Is that what's pushing us onward? This vision, my senses will be satisfied. This world is a place for that. What do you think?
I think this opportunity in the human form is to develop spiritually. Yeah. Get out of the chains of rebirth.
Chains of
rebirth.
Yeah. You always thought that?
No, I didn't. Yeah.
Previously, what?
I suppose you can only think what's in front of you, because that's how we've been. Well, we can't see beyond our own senses as well. So to satisfy them is what I thought was the ambition of this stuff.
So you thought this world was a place for satisfying the senses?
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? What was your outlook?
Similar, to satisfy the senses, but to be recognised for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got to talk about it. You're the biggest hero.
Yeah. Our artistic creations are appreciated throughout the world.
You're ridiculous.
And you're a cool guy, and everyone's always talking about how innovative you are, how tuned in you are, how switched on you are.
Coolest guy in the crowd.
So very sensitive, but also ruthless at the right time.
All
the time. Yeah. Dynamic. But also understanding. Well, did it happen to you? Did you get the world a plane?
Not yet. But it's not something I'm seeking anymore, so.
Anyway?
This is a place to satisfy my curiosity. I've always been interested in the news. I watch it all the time on television, now by digital television.
Oh, I see. The TV news is very informative, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was joking.
Really gives you in-depth understanding of the world.
Material world. Material.
I would say you don't even get a good material understanding of the world in the TV news. You have a superficial understanding. But anyway, you felt that this world was a place to satisfy your curiosity. Mm-hmm. You liked the mental stimulation you get from curiosity.
Yeah.
Yes. According to the Vedic standard of knowledge, the mind is also a sense. So through curiosity, you're satisfying that sense known as the mind. Tiliating it, you know. Just like most people, they like pleasing sensations on the skin, so also people like pleasing sensations on the mind. Curiosity. Something catches your curiosity. It's like a fresh breeze catches your skin. So that's been your main preoccupation, the satisfaction of curiosity.
I think so. When I was a kid, I wanted to be famous, I wanted to do great things, but...
Like what?
Well, I wanted to be a great scientist, and I did physics at school, mathematics, and I wasn't good enough to be a professional scientist. And I don't want to be famous anymore, because if you watch the news, you know how media treats famous people. They pry into every aspect of their private lives. They show up all their faults and failings. And that they usually make famous people look worthless.
You think that's true?
Well, they point out all their faults. I mean, they seem to want to do people down.
The people like sensationalism, so TV's got to give them that. Anyone else? What do you think this world is for you?
I don't know. I've always thought there's something more, I suppose, something else than just pure satisfaction of the senses.
That was all right.
What?
A bit of that was okay, though. Right?
A bit of satisfaction of the senses. Right.
Yeah. So you thought that's part of the meaning of the world, right?
I don't know if I was ever fully satisfied with satisfaction of the senses.
I don't know who it is. I don't think so. That's why intoxication is necessary, because you can't be fully satisfied through gratifying your senses. So you need intoxication in order to prevent you from facing that reality. So therefore, the common menu is to combine gratifying the physical senses with intoxication, and then you don't have to face reality at all. So at some point did you start to suspect that, well, maybe this world isn't a place for satisfying the senses?
I don't know when that point actually was, when I suddenly thought, maybe, I don't know, but my dad's always said that he's always been quite philosophical, and from a young age he's talked to me about philosophy and the fact that just things like, you're in everything, he used to say, and
you're what?
You're in everything, everything is you, and like this table, and so I always thought there was something else going on, but I didn't quite know what it was.
You are everything, everything is you?
Yeah, something like that.
This is philosophy?
Pardon?
This is philosophy?
I don't know what it was, but anyway. It was a different way of looking at things, not just, you've got to do well, or just material goals. You didn't place importance on material goals.
But you grew up thinking you're one with the cosmic consciousness or something?
No, not really. Just grew up thinking there might be something else.
Then what did you think?
Depends which age.
Let's say, so 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
1 year.
I guess I was trying to find somehow the truth.
Well, what did you think the world?
What did I think the world
was? Was it a place to satisfy your sense?
Not really, because I wasn't being satisfied.
Did you try?
Very small amount, but I kind of knew that, because I didn't really drink much. I kind of knew if all landed without trying that I wouldn't get satisfied by it. Somehow, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I thought there was something else there, obviously. Mm-hmm.
What was your view of the world in general, in terms of what's it for?
I don't really think about that. I do not kind of sense what it's for. Just kind of accepted certain things that I've read. But I wasn't really, held down by them. I wasn't willing to say, that's what it is. I found that I was willing to change my views.
Mm-hmm. I've always had this view of the world as a place where we grow and our bodies are like our cocoons or something, where the bodies are these cocoons where our spiritual selves, our true selves, grow inside the cocoons, and then through the process of life or something, I don't know if I haven't got there yet, but we break out of our cocoons into something else.
But is that something else?
I don't know. Okay. Our actual life, our spiritual life, our our true selves.
So while in the cocoon, do you try to satisfy the cocoon?
Well, of course, yeah. We'll try and experience life where our human bodies are our sensory base, right? Everything that our human bodies function on is this five senses, right? But I don't think that's the purpose in life. I think that's maybe an obstacle or something that we have to deal with, mm-hmm. or something we have to harness or get around. I don't know.
So you mean as you were growing up, teenager, in the early 20s, and you kind of, whenever there was opportunity to satisfy the senses, you just,
No, I don't think, I think the purpose in life is to try to do that, is to try to reject temptations, to reject fulfilling our senses, gratification of the senses. But I don't think that anyone can. I think it's something that you'll continuously be trying to do. I think that's what life is all about. It's the continuous, the battle of
futile effort.
Oh, not futile, but using whatever spiritual base you do, your beliefs to your faith, let's say, that's something that you hold on to. What you believe in is what you, once you fall, then you get back up. It's about trying. Life is a battle. It's, you're constantly making choices, failing, but then getting back up again and keep going.
Okay, so who decides what the victory is or what's the defeat?
I don't know. What I believe is that, well, I'm not sure exactly what I believe, but I'm still figuring that out.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, my question is, you're struggling, you're fighting, you're being defeated, you pick yourself up again, but what's the purpose of it all? What's the
spiritual growth? It's a...
What's that?
It's, or I don't know, it's that's what I think it is. It's a, we're becoming who we are. Or let's say, with reincarnation, I personally don't believe in reincarnation, but...
Really?
No. Maybe that was the best thing to say here.
I just said really.
Yeah. But even with reincarnation, you could say that each time you are in your body, that in each journey you go on, it you're furthering your spiritual, your true soul, your soul, or your spirit.
So you feel that, you believe that after death everything's finished?
No. I believe in the afterlife, that after death, we will become our true body, our souls, can either go to a heaven or a hell or a purgatory.
Now, you mentioned about reincarnation. Of course, you realize in this lifetime, what are you, about 24?
19.
Thank you. So you've already reincarnated at least two times.
Yes, the physical reincarnation of the body every 7 years.
Right, so why do you think that would stop that death?
I don't know. My beef, let's say, with reincarnation is that whoever I am now is not truly who I am. I was someone else before, and I will be someone else again. The consciousness that I have is not unique, it's not personal. It's not going to always be there.
It'll change. What's now?
Okay. The consciousness that I have right now, the awareness that I have, is not who it was before. Let's say in another life I was someone else. I was some medieval farmer or something. I don't know. But that, I don't even know.
Well, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that the soul changes from one body to another. The body doesn't just mean flesh, it also means mental coverings, emotional coverings. So you're the same core abstract person, but your mental and physical trappings change from life to life. But you're the same kernel of personal individuality is there.
Okay.
But the surrounding physical and mental coverings change. Let's say for your past life you were a woman, so you have a different physical body, you also have a different mental body.
But the soul and the spirit, the
yes,
the kernel
is the same.
So, in the end, when there is no physical body left, which I assume there is an end.
Definitely. That way it seems to be 100%.
No, I mean once after reincarnation.
Yeah.
Does the kernel retain consciousness from all its past bodies?
The nature of having a material body is that your full consciousness is covered, just like this lamp is covered by a shade, so the light is diminished. Similarly, having a material body and mind diminishes your awareness. So therefore, just by your possession of a body and a mind, your knowledge is curtailed.
Mm-hmm.
Especially dying, if you're attached to your body, is a traumatic experience, and taking birth is also a traumatic experience. That's why you don't remember your birth, because there's a lot of trauma involved. Can you just think what it's like to be packed up in a womb? Or do you think as soon as the baby pops out of the womb, then the consciousness springs into it? No, the baby was conscious inside the womb. So, just think what that would be like, living there. So you don't, then you pop out. Such a trauma, you don't remember. And being torn from your body at the time of death is also a trauma, so you don't remember. Some people get glimpses of traumatic events in their past life. A great element of material life is forgetfulness. People actually want to forget. Traumas from their past life make them forget their past life, even forgetting their birth in this life. And also, the fondness of intoxication shows you that people want to forget. That's why you get intoxicated.
But once we break out of the cycle of birth and death, do we remember our past lives? Say we make it to Krishna Loka, do we remember all our past lives?
It's all just like a dream when you come out of it. You ever been locked into a dream at night?
Yeah.
And it seems like it goes on and on.
Yeah.
Then when you wake up, you realize just a few minutes have passed or an hour had passed. Maybe you dozed off for a nap and you got lost in the dream world. Just went on and on and on. And then some phone rang and you woke up and you realize, hey, I've just been dozing for an hour. But inside the dream, it seemed like it was just going on and on. You ever had that feeling?
Yeah.
Similarly, when you wake up from the dream of material existence, you'll see that all these, the whole sequence of birth and death and various lifetimes, it's just a very insignificant occurrence.
It's not important. You think it's not important?
No, it's not important.
What's the point of it? Why are we here?
We'll get to that.
Okay. Jumping again.
Well, I'm glad you're keen. But first, let's deal with this point about reincarnation, which is more specifically described as transmigration of the soul from one body to another. So you're already seeing that happening in your life. Your baby's body is gone. Your teenage body is going. So why should that process of the spirit soul being in a changing body, why does that stop at death? You would be, of course, probably know that during the time of Christ and right afterwards, a few centuries afterwards, belief in reincarnation was quite common.
Mm-hmm.
That's why in the New Testament, when Christ's followers are discussing things, well, some say he's this, some say he's that, you know. Some say he was such and such in the past life, like that. Yeah, quite. You know that verse?
No.
It's quite common. That conception, those times. And then, even in the first few hundred years of Christianity, it was not considered at all incompatible, considered quite normal to accept reincarnation.
Mm.
Until one prominent spokesperson got into political trouble with the Pope. So, it wasn't that the particular aspects of doctrine he was teaching got into trouble, because he just got into political trouble. And so, from that point on, reincarnation seem to not have a place in Christianity. But even in the, even recently in the 20th century, the Catholic cardinal has said that actually this belief in reincarnation and Christianity is not incompatible. You'll find statements in the Bible that seem to support reincarnation, and you'll find statements that seem not to. But you can't make a clear case either way. In other words, there's no reason that if someone wants to follow the teachings of Christ, they can't accept reincarnation. That is clear. And anyway, even in this life, you see, you're changing bodies. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks about that. Krishna doesn't say that only those who are of this religion or that religion have bodies that change. No. Krishna explains that the soul remains the same, the body is changing from boyhood, girlhood, to youth, to old, adulthood, old age, and then death. This is a common experience. It's like when I was speaking at which university was it? The University of Manchester, and then
it was a building for university, but
students come back. Okay. So one student was saying, well, in all these religions, there's got to be something common. So in other words, you don't have to follow any particular path specifically, because in all these religions, there's something common. Anyway, I first of all explained that I wasn't presenting a religion. And secondly, I said, okay, you want to find what is common about any genuine spiritual understanding, what's common is that whether you call yourself a this or a that, your body is changing. Taking birth, growing, diminishing, and dying, which is common to all material creeds or spiritual creeds. Now, what to do about that? What to do about the fact that your body is always changing? It's not going to remain youthful. And what is it about you that doesn't change, although the body is always changing? So, you should investigate Bhagavad Gita and hear from Lord Krishna and understand this process of taking bodies and giving them up. Very interesting. Yes? Gentleman in the chair? What did you feel? This world is a place for satisfying your senses?
Yeah, you certainly draw yourself to pleasure, but the limits of self-discipline. That's the thing with pain, anyway.
Better think of
pain.
Pain? Why?
Just to discipline yourself. And bear with responsible mind.
Why? Discipline. And, you know, if there's pleasure for the senses out there, you should go for it. And not just young people, old people too.
Yeah.
The latest thing now is old people, you know, in their 60s and 70s, having affairs.
Yeah, I mean, I think I experienced in that life. I've been down that road. But, then my heart is pure and true, and it's just gone for that.
Well, if you're not going to try to satisfy your senses, then what are you going to do? Fair enough. Fair enough. Eleanor, big yes here. What do you think? Is the world for satisfying your senses?
I used to think that.
And you're how old?
You
should think it and act on it.
I didn't even. But the funny thing is, when you are like that, you don't even realize that you're doing it. The fact that you're searching just for, you know, to satisfy your senses.
Yeah, what do you think? What do you think you're searching for?
I don't know. In a way, you're searching. So you do it subconsciously, like you're searching for for happiness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's satisfying you.
Mm-hmm.
And you look for it in all these other things, but you don't realize that you're just doing it to satisfy your material senses.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, at that point, I was really confused as well, but I was young then, and then, because I was at college, and just in that environment of, you know, the youngsters, like you said, trying to look cool and everything.
Uh-huh. So you just kind of, well, this is the way it is, you just kind of...
Yeah, that's what I was a bit like. But then I thought that, like, I had this conception or that everyone needs to say that, you know, like, when you do good, if you be nice to other people and stuff like that. I used to believe in, you know, like, being nice to other people. Because at the end of the day, when you get hurt, you don't like it, so you don't want to treat other people that way either.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to have certain morals and stuff like that. But I never thought about it in depth. I never thought about death, really. I knew that you die. You know, everybody knows that you die subconsciously. It's just there. You don't really think about death. It's just something that doesn't cross your mind at that point. You don't think of the importance of death at that point in your life.
So what was your goal?
I don't know. I didn't have a goal. I think I was just looking for some sort of happiness to satisfy me.
It's kind of moving from one pleasing sensation to another and trying to avoid the unpleasant sensations.
Yeah, and there was no satisfaction in any of them.
When did you realize that? What age?
18.
18 was like your moment of enlightenment.
That's when I read the Perfect Peter.
Huh? How old are you now? 22. Huh? What have I done at when I was 18? So now, what do you think the purpose of the world is for? You don't think it's for satisfying your senses?
No, I think it's to satisfy Krishna.
Huh? If you study the science of Krishna, you'll find out that Krishna is the source of all senses. So, whether you're living a material life or living a spiritual life,
the basis is gratifying senses. But in spiritual life, you understand the science of satisfying the senses of the Supreme, which are not material. But in material life, you struggle to satisfy your own temporary material senses of your temporary body. And you do that birth after birth, you try. And what do you think?
I just want to be happy. Different people have different ways of being happy and feeling and satisfying themselves. In the past, you know, our poor material instinct would make me happy, but after trying, so it doesn't really satisfy me.
What age did you realize that? What's going on? You know, from the age of 18, and by the time everyone reaches the age of 18, they're just burnt out. Must be some frantic years before then, huh? Huh? Yeah, is it like that? No?
It's kind of, as James said earlier, it's kind of knowing it without kind of really experiencing it, you know, without going to the extreme, you kind of sense that, you know, it's not about drinking until you can't walk. It's not. It can't be. It doesn't make sense for it to be that. So therefore, there must be an alternative, so.
So you have to try it a few times, right?
You try it a few times, yeah. It's just a lot, isn't it? So. But it's not that. You kind of confirm it, but it's not that.
So I can see that there are different degrees of sense gratifiers. But more or less everyone shared the same mission. There are those who... Everyone's in the pool, but some are at the shallow end of the pool and some headed for the deep waters. But everyone's in the pool. Right? So now what do you think? What's the purpose of your being in this world?
I still want to be happy, but I'm trying to find out how in different ways.
That's good. Well, everyone wants to be happy. Is anyone here who doesn't want to be happy? Raise your hand. Anyone? I was explaining Monday that I was in Copenhagen. The doorbell rang. I went to answer the door of our center there in Copenhagen. And this two ordinary looking persons. And they introduced themselves. You know, man and woman. You know, middle aged. Hi, we're from the local masochist society. And we're just, you know, letting people know in the neighborhood that, you know, our organization exists, and if anyone is so inclined, you know, we have our weekly meeting. But I realize these people also want to be happy. It's just that they think happiness is by having pain, but the goal of having the pain is to feel some kind of happiness. Oh, how miserable. Oh, how you hurt me. Do it again. Do it again. So, yeah, they actually get some kind of pleasure somehow or other out of that. So, yes, everyone's looking for happiness. Now, why is it that you're looking for happiness?
Satisfying.
You have this yearning for a satisfying experience.
I don't know, but when I see other people happy, it makes me happy, so I just assume being happy is good.
That's good. Where have you seen other people happy?
Sometimes it's in Finland, but sometimes when people are upset, it's obvious and it doesn't feel right. You don't want to see things like that.
Well, do you think you've seen truly happy people in this world?
In some way, I'm not too sure.
That's a good point. So this is a very interesting point to think about. What's the purpose of my being in this world? I remember during my university years, one morning I woke up at my usual time, 11 a.m., and I was thinking, what reason do I have to lift my head off the pillow? What reason do I have to do? What's the purpose of life, and why should I lift my head off the pillow? Did that happen to anyone here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So what did you tell yourself?
I slept for like 2 days.
Why? Why did you go back to sleep? Because you couldn't figure out a good reason to get up, huh?
Yeah.
Anyone else did that? You did? Also? You always got up, huh? Sorry you did that?
Yeah.
But one morning you woke up and said, what's the point of me even getting out of bed? What's the, why? You got nightmare?
Yeah, I enjoyed sleeping more than being awake.
You know why?
Why?
Forgetfulness.
Yeah.
Sleep is ignorance. You forget all your problems when you're sleeping. You don't know what to do when you're awake. You also?
But sometimes you are suffering in your dreams and you also want to continue sleeping. It happens to me sometimes.
Suffering.
I was having a bad dream,
mm-hmm.
suffering in my dream.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I want to continue sleeping.
Did you, because of the dream?
No. Because I can't wake up. I feel very, very sleepy.
You were too tired to wake up?
Yes.
Even though you're having
yes.
a bad dream?
Yes, even you have a bad dream. But now I start to reach about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scared about this situation.
Scared about which situation?
About, for example, if I die when I'm sleeping, I can reincarnate in I don't know where because I have no control of my dreams. So
okay, it's good you've understood that about sleeping, that you have no control over your consciousness, and if you die in your sleep, where would be your destination? Because as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, according to your consciousness at the time of death, you take another body. So your consciousness when you sleep is out of your control. But I'd like to make another point, that your consciousness when you're awake is also out of control. It's a complete dangerous situation. No one has a grip on themselves, whether they're sleeping or awake. Therefore, we say there's the daydream and the night dream. No one's actually awake. Everyone's asleep 24 hours. Just one dream changes for the other. At night you could dream that, you're Dave Beckham or his wife or something like that. And then when you so-called wake up, I am this body, I am a student, I am this, I am that. I am man, I am woman. It's also a dream. It's got nothing to do with the spirit soul. So one morning, I remember, why should I lift my head off the pillow? Why should I? But you can't remain like that for long. Sooner or later, your senses start pushing you. I want to do something, achieve something, get something. Passion starts to push you. Most people go between passion and ignorance. Lusty to get something for their senses, that's passion, or else they're in ignorance. Doped up. Lost in sleep. Now, if you're going to push your life forward, what do you think your mission is? What is your mission in life now?
So to achieve Krishna consciousness now.
Oh. Well, that's right. Okay. Sounds good to me, man. What is your goal in life?
You're looking for a woman.
Still looking. But you know what you're looking for? In order to find, you have to at least have some idea what you're looking for.
Something more pure than, you know, all these materialistic things.
What is pure? In order to understand what is pure, you have to understand the supreme pure. Krishna is the supreme pure, and understanding what Krishna says brings about purity. You can't make your own standard of purity. You have to take the standard coming from the supreme pure. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that everything, all energies, emanate from Him. Krishna is never disturbed by His own energies. But we, as energies of Krishna, do become disturbed by other energies of Krishna. If we don't take instruction from Krishna how to live with the various energies. Pure means dealing with things in a way 100% according to Dharma or Krishna's instructions. That's pure. Just like our use of this room right now is pure. This room is not being used for material purposes. This room is being used purely for the purpose of bringing people to a higher level of spiritual understanding, bringing people to Krishna consciousness. So, that is pure. Standard of purity is how is something or someone used in relation to Krishna. Everything has to be in relation to Krishna because Krishna is the source of everything. But in material life, we are ignorant of the connection between everything and Krishna. And we only see things in connection to our own temporary purposes. That is material life. Impure. And what did you think? What is your goal then?
To be a good devotee.
Be a good devotee. Yeah, everyone's devoted to something.
I know, but to be, yeah, I'm doing internal energy to worship Krishna.
Ah, okay. Sounds good to me, but like I said, I can't speak for everyone. See, we got the choir here today. We try for some variety. Alright, what is your goal?
To do something interesting, that's why I'm here.
To what?
Do something
interesting. To do something interesting.
That's why I'm here.
Where?
Here.
I mean, here in this room?
I need to.
Ah, okay. Yes, the most interesting thing you can do is what?
Well, that's how much you're asked to.
Actually, though, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that four types of persons approach him. And they all have merit. They all have value. Number one, someone who's materially distressed. They become very interested in a spiritual solution, which is suffering. Number two, someone who wants knowledge. Number three, someone who is curious, inquisitive. And number four, someone who wants material prosperity. Some people understand that if you live a life according to Dharma, spiritual principles, actually you'll be more materially prosperous. So some people approach Krishna for that reason. So, yes, Krishna specifically says one of those four is the curious, the inquisitive.
Also, I want to feel that life is worth living. That's why I wouldn't like to be poor.
You wouldn't like to be poor?
I want material comforts. And that's not the same thing as just indulging myself. I know that self-indulgence isn't in my own interest.
What is in your own interest?
Well, being adequately fed, not overfed.
Is that difficult?
Oh, well, sometimes I'm tempted to overeat.
But is it difficult to get enough to eat?
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
And not suffering pain.
That will come inevitably.
Well, avoiding it as best I can. I realize I have to go to the dentist, and I realize we'll get sick and die.
Right.
But avoiding something like going to war. I would like to go to war. Get shot.
Yeah, you're a bit old for the military, aren't you?
Yeah.
Still, war can come to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, someone could drop a bomb on my flat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wouldn't like that to happen.
Mm-hmm. So some terrorists might do something. Mm-hmm. What is your positive goal?
To enjoy life without indulging myself.
How do you do that?
Well, do what I'm doing now. Don't drink too much, don't eat too much, don't avoid trouble as best as I can, avoid pain, avoid anything that's unpleasant.
So you're a bachelor, you live on your own?
Yeah.
Alright, but what is the thrill in your life?
Watching the news on television.
So when you think of ecstasy, when you think of jubilation, you think of the news on TV, yeah?
Well, it's not that exciting, but it's pretty good. Yeah. I'm not looking for ecstasy or jubilation. I'm looking for equanimity. Mm.
So the news on TV helps you to feel that equanimity.
Well, it gives them an interesting life. It's a mind-blowing world without being too exciting. Because I'm not part of a war. I'm not part of a terrorist incident. But I can observe all this through the television.
It's good you have a interest to understand things, but now you have to find out what is the best thing to be curious about, what is the best thing to understand.
separation of consciousness.
You try to understand Bhagavad Gita, you try to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, the graduate studies of Bhagavad Gita. And then your comprehension of existence will expand immeasurably. In other words, if I can show you something better than the news, what time is the news here? 6 o'clock or all the time?
Well, I watch a program called News 24. It's 24 hours. I can watch that for hours and hours.
Really?
Yeah. it's a bit repetitive, I know, but I like listening to it.
So you just keep it on in your house all the time?
Well, not all the time, but quite a bit of the time.
Mm-hmm. So if I can show you something more informative and inspiring than that, you might go for it?
If I believe, yeah.
Well, would you give it a try?
I don't know about things like chanting.
No, I'm not talking about chanting and strange things like that. I never do that. Never recommend that. But, you know, just some basic education in mysteries of life.
Well, I do a fair bit of reading, or I have in the past, anyway.
All right, so then? So if I can show you something better than the 24-hour news, more informative, more enlightening?
Well, I would accept that it's better, that it's parallel with, as well as.
Okay. And? Pete, what is your goal?
Dave,
sorry.
Okay, I got it.
I think continue changing my working for his spiritual enlightenment, I think. And so listening to that one, especially as I'm working to understand what God is and what the spirit is.
That means you need education.
I think we all need education, don't we?
You mean, I think in general.
I would say I do need education. Yeah. I think all people need education.
Okay.
I think that's fortunate enough to be brought up by much looking at scriptures. The pursuit of understanding and thinking.
And what's your goal?
I think I've got two goals.
Two?
Yeah. I want to become self-realized, Krishna conscious. And want to communicate something to the world through photography.
Communicate something. What is that thing that's going to benefit the world?
Krishna consciousness.
Oh, okay. Yes, you can use all these skills and abilities for Krishna's pleasure, and then they are pure. Things that are directly in relation to Krishna are pure. Your goal?
Seek truth, enlightenment, knowledge.
And where would you look for it?
Here, church, reading. I'd like to I was raised Roman Catholic, and I've always been quite curious into everything. I want to see the collectiveness of it all. And I think, as far as Roman Catholics go, I'm probably pretty liberal. I think that we are all worshipping the same person, the same God, really.
Same person?
The same God.
Same person. Can you tell us about that person?
Well, I believe in a creative and omniscient, omnipotent power. The eternal being that created us all and loves us all.
And what is that eternal creative person? What are the activities? What's that person do?
Well, I don't know. I'd say to comprehend God is impossible.
Why?
Because it's incomprehensible. It's something that I don't think we're meant to fully understand. It's part of life, maybe, to always seek to understand. We're as human beings, are curious. But I don't think we'll ever.
Unless you get the information about God directly from God.
Right, well, and I think we can further our understanding, but I don't think in our material lives that we will reach nirvana, or we will reach enlightenment.
Heaven.
I'll quit beating around the bush.
Right. Right. So, we were discussing one point, I think it was yesterday, that as a finite entity, on your own, you cannot understand the infinite. But going the other way, it is possible, because the infinite has infinite possibilities. The infinite can become known to the finite. But the other way, it doesn't work.
Right. So, through relationship with God, you can have a personal relationship where God can let himself, you know.
Yeah, that's the only way it's going to work, because you're too tiny, you're finite. You can't rise up and
grasp.
Right. It has to come down to you. So the proof or the symptom that you have adequate knowledge of the Supreme is that you can describe what is the Supreme. The greatest need today is for people to have precise and comprehensive knowledge of the Supreme. But they don't have that. Therefore, their spiritual fibers very weak, the spiritual backbone is very weak. To have some kind of belief in God, that's nice, but the sentiment is so weak because they have no knowledge. What is God? Just like if I say to you, well, what do I know about you? He's from Venezuela, sometimes we can speak Spanish. He was telling me things he did 20 years ago, like that. And now he's in Manchester, he's working, like that. His family is here or something. But if I ask, tell me about the Supreme, well, you know, the whatever, the Creator, he's something, but it's very vague. So therefore, our attraction for the Supreme remains very feeble because we don't have the understanding, the awareness. Something is better than nothing. But if we want a maximum spiritual life, then we have to have the opportunity for a maximum spiritual attraction. And the maximum spiritual attraction to the Supreme comes when you have awareness of what is God? What is the Supreme Source of everything? The sum of all. What? We can describe the temporary material characteristics of so many temporary people. But who can describe the eternal unlimited person? Most people are missing that information. Therefore, their spiritual strength is very weak. That's why we feel the greatest need in the world today is to spread the knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Knowledge of Krishna consciousness means Krishna explaining himself. Otherwise, people will not remain very strongly attracted to God realization, because they don't know anything about that person who they're supposed to attain. Simply, okay, there were some creative functions, or there can be destroying functions, there can be punishing functions. That's not attractive. When you think about the persons you've been attracted to in this world, you think about, oh, how they look, how they talk, how she looks, how she talks, you know, the things she does, the way she does the things she does. But when we say, okay, what about God? Then no one knows. Uh-oh. Incomprehensible, unknown, beyond everything. But that won't enthrall your heart. And without this knowledge, the specific knowledge of the Supreme, you leave yourself wide open to be attracted to the material illusion. Therefore, the greatest need is to find out the realm of pure spiritual activities, pure spiritual qualities, pure spiritual form. That's a better definition of so-called heaven. Anyone else? Goals? What's your goal?
To feel wanted, I think, really.
To feel
wanted.
Wanted.
Mm. Yeah.
Well.
Need for a
Because you are part of Krishna, naturally, your feeling of fulfillment comes in relation to Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna claims all living entities as his parts. But we have forgotten our connection to Krishna, the supreme source of everything, because of rebellious attitude, forgetfulness. Let's turn to page 1 of the Bhagavad Gita. We'll chant the introductory mantras and then we'll take a look at a verse. Om Jnana Chimanandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nilitam Yena Sasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaparantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuga Parakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vichantham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Prajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Param Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vidhamcha Hey Krishna Karana Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchatopatharubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Alright, let's turn to page 467. In this text, number 27, as you see, the name of this chapter is called Knowledge of the Absolute. Absolute means of which has no relativity. It's not that it's one way, one day, and the next day, another day. Absolute means beyond the influence of time, beyond deterioration, beyond the reach of the laws of nature. So here in this verse, Krishna is going to describe what are the psychological circumstances of your appearance in this world. So, let's look at text 27. Iccha dvesha samutthena dvandva mohena bharata sarvabhutani sammoham sargayanti paranjapa. O sign of Bharata, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities, arisen from desire and hate. Purport. The real constitutional position of a living entity is that of subordination to the Supreme Lord, who is pure knowledge. When one is deluded into separation from this pure knowledge, he becomes controlled by illusory energy and cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The illusory energy is manifested in the duality of desire and hate. Due to desire and hate, the ignorant person wants to become one with the Supreme Lord and envies Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pure devotees, who are not deluded or contaminated by desire and hate, can understand that Lord Sri Krishna appears in this world by his internal potency. In other words, no material arrangement, just a spiritual arrangement. But those who are deluded by duality and nescience think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is created by material energies. This is their misfortune. Such deluded persons symptomatically dwell in dualities of dishonor and honor, misery and happiness, woman and man, good and bad, pleasure and pain, and so forth, thinking, this is my wife, this is my house, I am the master of this house, I am the husband of this wife. These are the dualities of delusion. Those who are so deluded by dualities are completely foolish and therefore cannot understand the Supreme Personality of God. Alright, let's think about this. Born into delusion. Sounds autobiographical? Like an autobiography? Born into delusion. Next time you talk to your mother or father, you can say, guess what? I was born into delusion. Would you try it?
Would you try? Born into delusion. That means having no idea of why you're in material existence. What is your past? What is your future? Being born into delusion. No idea who is in charge of the whole situation. But just living day to day, trying to get pleasing sensations for your senses and avoid the displeasing sensations. So, specifically when you say you're born into delusion, as Krishna describes here, that means you're bewildered by dualities. Dualities means pairs of things. Hot, cold, fame, infamy, misery, happiness, man, woman, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain. These are dualities. Just like a coin always has two sides. Similarly, material existence is full of these twofold things called dualities. You can't have one without the other. Just like you can't have a one-sided coin. Impossible. If you want material pleasure, you have to accept material pain. If you want material honor, you have to accept there's going to be dishonor. Everything comes like that in this world. It's like hot and cold. When I was in India last month, I was seeing how even it could be 25 degrees outside, and many of the Indian people, they're wearing a sweater, they're wearing a scarf wrapped around their head. They feel cold. It's only 25 degrees. You've seen that, you think?
I'm just trying to visualize it.
Yeah.
25
degrees, they have a sweater on, and something wrapped around, some wool scarf wrapped around their head. It's cold. So, even because you got 25 degrees, but that shows you, even in a hot place, the dualities are still there. Some people are feeling cold, and they're coughing. Yes, you can see they're coughing. There's always this duo, two things. You can't just have one thing. You can't just have material pleasure. You must have material pain also. The smart person understands, as soon as I sign up for material pleasure, I also must get pain. As soon as I strive for material wealth, I must also be creating material poverty. That's the way it works. My profit is at the cost of someone else's loss. So, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. So what is it actually that you desire? And what is it actually that you hate? What do you think? What is the main desire? Underneath it all, what's that desire that's got you trapped in material life? What is that desire?
Love? Have your own way.
Yeah. In material existence, the two are equatable. Love means to have your own way. What the desire that's got you trapped in material existence, the basis of it all, is that you want to be the supreme enjoyer and controller. That means you want to be God. This is the basis of material existence. This is the desire. My will be done. Things will happen my way. This is the basis of your sojourn in this material world. All right, that's desire. And what is hate? What do you hate?
What do you hate about
pain. Suffering. Huh? Suffering.
What do you hate?
Not getting me wrong.
Hate comes into it when you can't have what you want. Like, you love something that's kind of eternal, and like you say, wanting to be God, but you hate the fact that you can't achieve that. So that's like kind of the duality of yourself.
Or as they were saying, you hate not getting your way.
Yeah.
Things are not going your way. You hate it. Now, according to the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, things go even deeper than that in terms of hate. What is the bottom line of your hate? You hate following Krishna's instructions. Insubordination. You do that in very intricate ways. You won't say, I hate following Krishna's instructions. Most people won't say that. But generally what they'll say is, each person has his own or her own way. It's up to you to figure out what you should do according to what you think is right. That's a tricky way of saying, you know. You know, it's up to you, you know. Whatever you feel. Bhagavad Gita will explain that at the bottom of all that is hate and following Krishna's instructions. Just like at the university yesterday, I was speaking about Krishna, knowledge of Krishna consciousness. And I know some people are going to immediately just get a bit agitated, like, wait a minute, why that way? Why Krishna? I mean, there's so much out there. So many different books, so many different teachers. You know. Why are you only pointing to this one? So I said, okay. What are you doing? What path do you follow? Well, nothing, but... All right, you're not following anything. Why don't you try this? But instead, no. Why? It's the fact that, you know, there might be a specific comprehensive path. If people feel threatened by it. And so they try to just push everything aside. No. There can't be any specific path. There can't be any topmost path. There can't be anything comprehensive. No. That actually is hate of Krishna's instructions. Hate of Dharma. Eternal spiritual principles. Don't try to tell me anything about that stuff. It's up to each person. That's insubordination. That's rebellion. So Krishna in this verse is saying, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. I want to be God. I am the enjoyer. I am the controller. I'm the most popular. I'm everyone's friend. But I want to be God. My works are appreciated by everyone. And what do you hate? I hate following the instructions of Krishna. What is this stuff about Dharma anyway? Everybody should make out of life what they want. Why should there be some overall instructions for everyone? It's so oppressive. So armed with these twin dualities of desire and hate, you take birth after birth.
Are you saying we're in a material world because of our designs?
Exactly! You get a gold star. That means you're ready to read? You've read it. You read Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
And now you're ready for Srimad Bhagavatam. The graduate study of the Bhagavad Gita.
All 18 volumes?
Yeah. I've been reading them for 30 years. Yeah.
Well, I've read such interesting things.
Huh? Well, then you're definitely ready for it. You're in bother.
Did we go against Krishna once? Did we once have a choice, or was it not all that?
There can't be love of God without choice. Would you like someone to be forced to love you?
I assume.
Would you?
No. I was just saying. Yeah. So we were almost created.
Suppose in your uncontrolled senses days, that some girl came up to you and said, "You know, I got to love you because they told me they'd kill me if I didn't love you." How would you feel?
So we were almost created to come around to loving Krishna, because that otherwise he, well, that's looking into things differently.
As stated here in the first line of the purport, the real constitutional position of a living entity is that of subordination to the Supreme Lord, who is pure knowledge. And when it is deluded into separation from this pure knowledge, he becomes controlled by illusory energy and cannot understand the Supreme Personality of God. The illusory energy is manifested in the duality of desire and hate. It's a powerful emotion. Do you feel that, Tara? Yes. I want all the pleasure, all the fame, all the recognition, all the appreciation, the control. My word will be followed. And then hate. I hate that there's some kind of overall instructions of life that I should follow. Each person should just do whatever they think is best. There's no central dharma, there's no central code of life. It's powerful emotions. Do you recognize that, okay?
But I'm thinking what Tara was saying earlier about having two goals. One is to kind of be Krishna conscious, and the other to kind of use it in a way to teach as well. Use your knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Using all your knowledge that you've gained. I was thinking of someone like John Charison, who's kind of, who uses it as a tool, his fame and
his if you had it, use it. Yeah. If you had it, use it.
Yeah. But yeah,
things directly in relation to Krishna are pure. Yeah.
But it's kind of, means like kind of gain that respect in the first instance.
Oh, yeah, that could be tricky. Yeah. If you already had it. He already had it. It is smarter to endeavor to become Krishna conscious, and then whatever comes your way through your past karma, you use for Krishna's service. All right. It's been interesting. Yes, you're definitely ready for Srimad Bhagavatam.
Well, I've got the first half of the first volume. I haven't got around to looking at it yet. Mm. I've got the small version of the first volume.
Yeah, you get the whole set. That's the best news. Read the whole set. If you think that it's not better than 24-hour news, you can bring it back to me. Yeah, we'll read. You need to be introduced to news of the spiritual world. that's ever fresh. That's my advice. You know about Shri Mata. I mean, you read Searching for Vedic India. You remember the chapter about the Puranas?
Yeah.
So?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you all very much. Time for some refreshments. Okay.